Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Tony Wasilowski, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Tony, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me, Steve.
All right. This week, we're going to talk about Russia and Belarus, specifically what Moscow's intentions may be and what it may be up to when it comes to its military presence and activity in Belarus, in and around Belarus. Tony, you wrote an article about this that's now on the RFERL website. As you mentioned there, Russia has for years wanted a military base in Belarus, but has essentially been rebuffed by Alexander Lukashenko, who apparently is or has been worried about giving Moscow too big a military foothold. And I think those concerns increase, certainly, after Russia sent troops into Crimea and then took over Crimea from Ukraine. Now, of course, and that was in 2014, of course. Now, Lukashenko now is under a lot of pressure with protests continuing, big protests almost 2 months after a disputed election in which he claimed victory and a sixth term. He's not recognized as president now in the West or by millions of Belarusians who believe he stole the election. Tony, how has this changed or potentially changed the situation in terms of Russia's military goals? Does the Kremlin see this as a chance to maybe get that base or otherwise increase its military presence in Belarus?
Well, like you mentioned, right now, Lukashenko is very isolated. He's lost all support. If he had any in the West, they don't. None of the Western states, the EU or the United States, are recognizing him as the president. So Russia is basically his biggest and one of his only supporters. So the thinking is, given he's so dependent on Moscow, that Moscow could now really exploit the situation and push for this, which, as you mentioned, this military base, something they've always wanted in Belarus and something he's been very shy about, especially, as you mentioned, after the events of 2014. Russian strategy has changed regarding the base, I think that's still a long-term goal, but I think short-term, it's probably something they won't push for right now for fear of a backlash. Russia's already kind of sensing or getting some response from the Belarusian public that they don't support, that they don't appreciate the Kremlin backing of Lukashenko. Right. And I don't think they want to really push that with, any kind of movement on a military base right now.
Okay. And so is there something, we've talked before about how, Russia wants more influence, greater integration, but it also may fear going too far and alienating many Belarusians. I guess that's true in terms of the military and otherwise politically as well. So are there things that I think in the story you mentioned exercises, are there things that Russia is doing to try to kind of increase its footprint or gain more of a military, more influence with the military there in Belarus?
Yeah, exactly right. There were just some military exercises. These are annual military exercises. They're called the Slavic Brotherhood. Originally, they were supposed to only be from the 10th of September to the 15th. They were extended to the 25th, which is somewhat an interesting point. Mm-hmm. And now this month, there's going to be another set of exercises. These are called Unbreakable Brotherhood. This is something a little different. This is under the rubric of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which Russia leads and dominates, and Belarus is one of the members, along with some other states, namely in the Central Asian region. So I think, as some of the analysts I talked to mentioned, I think Russia is definitely using these exercises to send a message, first of all, to the Belarusian people that, whatever change does occur, and if and when that happens, Russia is really not going anywhere. Its military, especially the military presence, is going to be something that is staying. It's sending a message to NATO, too, that Russia has no intentions of losing another key ally, especially after the Maidan Revolution, and they've lost basically Ukraine, regardless of all the tumult, even in Ukraine to this day, it's still not the ally, definitely not it was. pre-Maidan. So they're, in Russian calculus, there's just no way they could lose. They would want Belarus to go the way of Ukraine. So I'm sure these drills are just a sign from the Kremlin that this is a key ally, and it's a key ally that Russia will hold on regardless of the costs involved.
Right. And a part of the background to this is, I mean, I guess in Ukraine and also in Georgia in 2008, I mean, some of the biggest reasons, I guess, for Russian military involvement, invasion, was the prospect, of that country going the way of moving towards NATO or even later becoming a member of NATO. And in the case with Crimea, I think part of the motivation in the Kremlin was the prospect that it could lose control over the Black Sea Fleet base that it has there, if Ukraine were to eventually join NATO. So, obviously, I think NATO is in the calculations. And as you say, probably Moscow is looking at various kind of futures for Belarus and what may happen there, and obviously doesn't know. But one thing that, as you say, I think they're going to try to make sure military foothold remains. Now, you spoke to analysts about Russia's intentions and also about what this may mean for NATO, I guess, itself. Belarus borders three NATO nations, Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia, and it's also close to, but does not border, Kaliningrad, that Russia's western exclave on the Baltic. How could an increased Russian presence, military presence or military grip on Belarus, if that happens, how could that change the situation or the balance of power in that area?
Sure. The thing you have to understand with Belarus is that between Belarus and Kaliningrad, there's this strip of land, this corridor that's called the Suwalki Gap. Now, for military planners, the thinking goes, if Russia was to go in militarily to the Baltics, any type of NATO response on the ground would come through Poland and through this Suwalki Gap into the area. And this is, we're talking, a conflict. So if Russia bolsters that its presence in Belarus, they could essentially be able, in the event of a conflict, block this land corridor for NATO, which would make it more difficult for NATO countries, for NATO to come to the aid in the event of a Russian military action in the Baltic states. So when, for NATO planners right now, I mean, NATO obviously won't say these things when they're watching this military, and these Slavic Brotherhood drills, they did paratrooper drops into Belarus, which analysts were telling me was a sign to NATO saying, listen, we Russian forces are quite capable within a short amount of time to get troops on the ground in Belarus. So if they were to do something, we're talking, these are very hypothetical situations, but ones that, are taken seriously in NATO,
right,
that this would really kind of closed one way of getting to aid for the Baltic states. So it's a very worrying sign that right now you're seeing these Russian troops, paratroopers coming in and out of Belarus. And with Lukashenko not being in a position to kind of oppose this, Russia's really kind of sending a signal, not just to the Belarusian people, but to NATO, too.
So it's already able to kind of flex its muscles more in the region. I think that's interesting. And I guess, I mean, as you say, hypothetical, certainly, but as I think Russian generals or defense ministers say, we hope for the best, but plan for the worst. And obviously both sides, I think, are doing that. So, and I think, again, the Suwalki Gap that you mentioned, the strip of territory, that sort of compounds the motivation, I guess, of Russia in whatever it does in the future in Belarus, but try to not, at least not lose any, lose any of the foothold that it has now.
Right. I was reading one piece in the Canadian press saying basically, essentially, Belarus comes down to this Suwalski, this gap. That's, the key asset that for Kremlin planners, the ultimate thing. They don't want to lose that strategical advantage they have right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And maybe bolster it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks a lot, Tony. We're running out of time. Thanks very much for joining me.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.